You're listening to the Riverfront Church broadcast, a place to explore faith, history, ideas, and more.
So this week in Think and Drink, we looked at Paul's second missionary journey. We looked at this kind of moving up through parts of Asia, modern-day Turkey area, over into Europe. And we noticed a couple of very interesting aspects of this. Number one, Paul constantly, it seems like, just causing or getting into trouble place after place after place, to the point of people, either running him out of town, threatening, arresting him, putting in jail, stoning for a wide variety of reasons. But mostly, though, I think threatening the status quo could be kind of a common theme there. But how much of this journey, the places that he went to were large city areas and on trade routes where the message could be spread well. We looked at Paul's funding mechanisms, which was always to be supported by previously planted churches rather than in the city where he was. And we also focused a lot on Paul the feminist, Paul who seemed to honor and respect women, whether it was the woman, who, the young lady, girl who was being basically pimped out by her owners for her ability to predict the future, and Paul casts out a demon and frees her, and that's kind of an interesting way of standing up for someone who's being oppressed, to Lydia in Philippi, who was put in a leadership position as the first European convert and the leader of her house church movement there, to relationship with Priscilla and Aquila and the strong role that she took in leadership during their time together. So that's kind of like the big, giant, broad brush overview. What did everybody else take away from this?
I just was marveling at the roller coaster ride that this must have been like for him. And I think it's true for anybody who makes it a priority to preach the gospel, that it's not going to be easy, and there's going to be people who receive it and people who reject it, and there's going to be miraculous things that happen along the way that will encourage when you're at that low point of discouragement, that God is always faithful to do that. So, I mean, it was a really fun, just, I loved how just quickly it lets you kind of have this like, I don't know, overview in such a way that makes you appreciate everything that Paul went through and everything that he did and the ministry that he was called to and how far-reaching that it was.
A couple things I got from it. The one thing that was kind of mentioned in the summary about when Paul got, and I forget where in Acts it was, where Paul got to the one city to share and you know, continue to spread the way. And there was the slave girl there who was, you know, like they said, pimped out by her family to predict the future and stuff. And as he was trying to share the message, you know, talks about how Paul got annoyed at this slave girl who had some form of divination and possessed by something that was causing her to, and even though she was saying things that validated Paul, she kept saying, you know, these people were sent by God, the Messiah. They're trying to show you the way to salvation. Even though she kept saying those things, it probably was very disruptive, like in the middle of preaching, you know, you're trying to send a message and you hear this, hey, these are people from the Messiah. They're trying to save you. Get with salvation. But also, like was discussed that, you know, it had to be cast out because you don't want to give honor to that wrongful spirit. You want to give all the honor and allow it to go back to God, because the whole point is to show the way is through God, through Jesus' sacrifice. And how, you know, these people got so mad that, like, oh my God, you took away our income now. This girl, our slave girl, has been freed from the spirit now. We're not going to make money, so we want to put you in prison. It seemed like everywhere Paul went, he did something to try and show people the way. He got put in prison, and then something miraculous happened, something from God, an earthquake, you know, the judge saying this is unfair charges, and he was released. And everywhere he went, if he wasn't put in prison, people were trying to stone him to death. And yet he kept going and going and going and going. And just, you know, looking at Acts in this way and the visuals we got of all the different cities. And we learned also about the, and I'm probably saying this wrong, the Via Ignatia, which was described as like the I-95 of Paul's time that went all the way across back and forth the different countries, where it started in modern day, what would be modern day Istanbul, and ended all the way on the other coast, which is in modern day Durres, D-U-R-R-E-S. I might not be saying that right, but it was just neat to see that journey and how he went on his way and continued and continued and continued and got a battle everywhere he went, but just kept on and trusted God. And sometimes he had success and people were happy, and sometimes people were running him out of town, but yet he continued, and people joined him on the journey and left him on the journey, and yet he continued. And just the way we get to see the visuals, which we can't explain to you in this podcast, but it's just amazing if you go back and just look at some of the cities that we were talking about and see what they looked like in biblical times, and just how they had to walk through probably stony, not so well paved roads, to probably foresty through hills, and just how they kept going no matter what. And also the theme throughout it was how Paul was culturally relevant. And like when he would talk to one group, especially when he got to Athens, how he was speaking, he was invited by the people to sit on the hill and talk to the philosophers. He was very culturally relevant. He didn't say, well, in Jewish tradition, this is that. He talked to them about in a way that they would understand, like the Greek philosophers, and how he had them. But then as soon as he said the resurrection from the dead, they're like, oh, no, we're done with you. Yet even though he said that, I think there was like two or three people who did get the message and were saved. And even though everybody didn't get the message, there were a few. There was a remnant that got the message, got saved, and maybe they could continue to grow the message from there. But it's just very interesting. Paul must have been a really, really either great guy to hang around with, or after a while just drove you nuts and you had to get a break. But very, very good study tonight.
So what I was thinking about is my brain kind of went to a different direction. I was doing some poking around on Facebook, and on a friend's post, I came across these words of disorienting, frightening, and negative. And they were talking about their experience of making a new church. Not this new church. It has nothing to do with here. Different geography, everything like that. But I just thought about how similar those words, how those words could have come out of those people who were going and form this new church, Paul or anyone else. Like, it's so easy to say, and then it was really easy, and then it was really easy, and then it was really easy. But then I just, in my mind, I hear the early church founding fathers, evangelists, those that are trying to keep the church going, echoing that same language and thinking about how in so many ways the church has changed, but not really. I mean, you know, we're still having those arguments. We're still having to redirect.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of Riverfront Church Broadcast. You can connect with us online at riverfrontwilmo.com or on Facebook. Just search for Riverfront Church in Wilmington, Delaware. May God meet you where you are and lead you where you are meant to go.